Wees niet bang. Wist je dat dit zinnetje wel 365 keer in de Bijbel staat? Voor elk dag van het jaar één keer. Want waar God is, daar is geen falen. Vandaag ga ik in gesprek met Pavyel Boekman. Zij is een Amerikaanse dame, advocate, en heeft het als missie om mensen op weg te helpen en stappen te gaan zetten in hun Godgegeven bestemming. Het leek mij ontzettend leuk om met haar hierover in gesprek te gaan. Ze is een Amerikaanse dame, dus het hele interview is in het Engels. Vergeef me voor mijn misschien wat boerse Engels en misschien wat grammatica foutjes. En ik kan je erbij zeggen, ik vond het heel erg spannend. Dus die wees niet bang was ook voor mij bestemd. Maar ik vind practice what you preach. En ik ben door die angst heen gegaan om jou vandaag te kunnen bemoedigen met dit ontzettend leuke gesprek. Heel veel luisterplezier. Mijn naam is Roosje de Vries en ik heb het verlangen om dicht bij God te leven en wil je graag inspireren om hetzelfde te doen. Je zult hier prikkelende preken en eerlijke gesprekken horen met als doel jou te stimuleren om op reis te gaan naar Gods hart. Want God wil ons laten bloeien zoals Hij jou en mij bedoeld heeft. Pavyel, welcome to the show. I am very excited to have you on. You are my first international guest, so thank you so much for being here and making me feel a little bit like a superstar. You make me international. Who are you? And speak about yourself and a little bit about your upcoming and your upbringing.
I am from the inner city of a city in Florida called Jacksonville. And I grew up in a bit of a rough neighborhood, but I was always pretty adamant about education. Yes. So I was able to remain focused despite some things that might be seen as distractions. So I was able to remain focused and matriculate through grade school and eventually go to college. I went to college at Florida State University in Tallahassee, Florida. And then I eventually went to law school, where I completed law school, graduated, and took the bar exam. I was able to pass on the first try. Yes. And I became fully licensed as an attorney in September of 2013. So I've been a practicing lawyer for 7 years now. And that's what I do. And then, like, just some random facts about me are, one, I am an introvert. Yes. I recently purchased a sweatshirt that says popular introvert because it's such an accurate description of me. I know a lot of people. A lot of people know me, but I prefer to be by myself or in smaller groups. So I was like, oh my gosh, this shirt is so fitting for me. I am an absolute foodie, but at the same time, I'm also very selective in what I eat. So that's just a little bit about me.
Thank you so much. But now you are a lawyer, but it didn't start off like that because, you grew up in the hood. Can you tell us about your childhood?
Yeah, sure. I was primarily raised by my dad. And for most of my childhood, I lived with my dad and his mom, my grandmother. Mm-hmm. I'm the product of an older parent because he was 42 years old when I was born. So I think that a lot of my insight comes from the fact that my parent, well, that particular parent was just older than all of my other peers' parents. But we lived in a neighborhood that was rough. I mean, it's a really rough neighborhood still to this day. A lot of crime happens in the neighborhood. There were just a lot of challenges. The middle school I went to, a good amount of the students had been arrested before or lived in poverty. I myself was living in poverty at that time. Mm-hmm. And when I say living in poverty, I mean the annual income in our house was lower than the poverty guidelines as identified by the federal government. So the federal government had said, if you make under this amount, then you are effectively living in poverty. And we earned under that amount at the time per year. So some of the students in my middle school, they were pregnant and were having babies. So it was just a lot going on in the environment. There was just a lot of crime. So it's easy to get distracted when there's so many external factors that are influencing your everyday life.
Yeah, but you made it to a lawyer, and the theme we are going to talk about today is living life on purpose. Why is having a purpose in life so important?
So purpose is crucial, because purpose is given to us by God to uplift and build his kingdom. Mm-hmm. In addition to that, purpose gives us personally, it gives us direction, meaning, and fruit. And by fruit, I mean positive outcomes. Yeah. So when you're talking about direction, when you walk in your purpose, you not only know why God created you, but you also know who you're supposed to help. For example, I know I was created to help people of faith navigate their purpose and find direction.
Yes.
Now that I know this, I have clarity on how to concentrate my effort and my energy. And as you start to operate in purpose, you will feel this sense of clarity too. And then when it comes to meaning, when you're walking in your purpose, you feel a sense of significance and importance. Think about it. God has a need that must be filled in the world, and the person he hand-selected to handle it is you. Now, there are billions of people in the world of all ages, personalities, and talents and skills, and out of those people, God chose you. Mm-hmm. So it gives you a sense of meaning and value. I want you, if you're listening, to keep that with you, because that's proof of the fact that your life has meaning and you are valuable in the kingdom. And then finally, when it comes to fruit and positive outcomes, when you operate in your purpose, you will yield positive results for yourself and most importantly for others. And there are many examples of how that ends up playing out, but it's just something that is just phenomenal, because it might not necessarily be on your mind. Like, you may be thinking, okay, God gave me this assignment, and you have no idea of what that assignment means for other people.
Yeah, because you have a beautiful example that shows us how having a purpose in life works for us. Please, can you tell that beautiful example? Because I thought it's so clear.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I actually have a couple examples. So I have a personal example of my story, and then I kind of have like a bit of an analogy that I like to tell about a kid who goes to a corner store every day. So a personal example is of me walking in my purpose and how it has yielded fruit and positive results is I send out a weekly email newsletter. And if my newsletter can be accessed, like, you can, if you want to sign up, you can sign up at the purposecollective.co. But I send this newsletter out every week, and it's one of my favorite things to do because it allows me to show up to my audience in a more intimate way and share valuable information while also being a bit more personal. And one of the subscribers to the newsletter sent a reply to my email, and she said this, like, I'm literally going to quote her word for word. Here's what she said. She said, Pavi, my name is Paviel, but she is my friend, so she likes to give me a nickname of Pavi. So she says, Pavi, thank you for authentically walking in your purpose. I look forward to your messages, and they encourage me to walk boldly in my own purpose. And the thing is, this isn't just her trying to fill up my head with compliments. She has completely transformed an area of her life when it comes to purpose, and she's thriving. Wow. So that's an example, a personal example for me, and how purpose has yielded fruit. But did you want me to share the example about the kids?
Yes, please, also, yes.
Okay, so imagine that there's a corner store Mm-hmm. And think about kids who may go to the corner store. And if you've never gone to a corner store yourself, then let me explain the significance corner stores have with kids.
For our Dutch corner people, stores, yes.
Yes. So a corner store is a store that is like for kids who walk home, who walk to and from school. Mm-hmm. A corner store is a store that's on the corner of a block that they pass by. So it's a store that's situated somewhere along their path, but it's usually situated on the corner of a block. And it's like a kid's department store. Like, we have Target in America, mm-hmm. but imagine the Dutch version of a huge store that has food and candy and juices, everything that a kid would want. It's a one-stop shop for them. Yes. So any kind of snack that they would want is in this store. So imagine for a minute that one day the owner of this store singles out a kid and asks him or her to make some runs delivering items to customers who are not able to pick them up in person. Those customers are the kid's neighbors, so it makes sense to the owner to just ask the kid to drop off the items. Now, the kid is excited about this because she's been given responsibility for something important. Okay. So she takes pride in it and delivers the packages, but she has no idea of the role those packages will play in her neighbor's lives. She just knows she's supposed to deliver it. But in those packages are things like medicine, vitamins, herbal supplements, and natural cold-pressed juices. So in this example, the mm-hmm. kid received a positive result because she took on an important task. She feels empowered because the store owner trusted her. She feels a sense of responsibility. I mean, at this point in her mind, she may as well be the store manager. But on the other hand, the neighbor who received the packages, they're also receiving and seeing improvements in their health and can even walk to the corner store themselves at this point. But this is how purpose works. When you operate in your purpose, you receive results like meaning and fulfillment, and the people you help will yield positive results as well.
So can you take us back to the moment in life where God showed you what your personal purpose in life is? How did it look like for you?
Sure. So one day I was checking my email and mm-hmm. I received an email about a webinar that was teaching people how to craft their unique story. So I signed up for the webinar because I thought it would help me with crafting my unique story into marketing material that I could use for my legal consulting business. Mm-hmm. I had recently started a business reviewing contracts and legal documents, and I wanted to market it better. Well, during the webinar, I felt the Holy Spirit telling me to create something that had nothing to do with my business, and it was very clear on what I was supposed to create. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to say it here because it's a bit of a surprise, but what he wanted me to create was something to help people with their purpose. And I wasn't sure about it, so I decided to pray about it that night. But before I could pray about it, I read my devotional, which was a devotional about faith. It's by mm-hmm. Christine Kane. So it was just about faith and how to increase your faith over time. So anyway, I opened my devotional to the devotional for that day that I had read that morning. And the part that I had underlined in the devotional said that you were created on purpose for a purpose. And I'm like, wait a minute. Like, so what? This devotional, first of all, is about faith. And God just told me earlier today, like, I felt the Holy Spirit telling me to create this thing about helping people with their purpose. And now this faith journal that has nothing to do with purpose is telling me that I was created on purpose for a purpose. So is this confirmation that's my purpose, right? Like, how more clear can you be? So I prayed about it just for some more clarity. And I mean, God just was hitting me over the head with the messaging that this was it. Like, girl, this is your purpose. Your purpose is to help people. And then when I really sat down and thought about it, I realized that I had been doing that my whole life. People literally would call me for advice on navigating their purpose. They wouldn't call it that, but they were working in their purpose and they were trying to figure out how to overcome certain obstacles as they were walking out that journey. So that was the moment where I discovered what my purpose was.
But it's so cool because then it really suits you, and then it is really something from your heart that God used. So I think this is really beautiful because, yeah, that is my next question, because the people who are listening can maybe say, all right, that's nice for you, but how is it for me? How can I find my own personal goal here in life? So can you give us some tools, some tips for the people who are listening?
Definitely. So what you want to do is start with some introspection. Everything you need is already within you. A lot of people like to say, oh, I need to find my purpose, right? They're looking outside of themselves. But the truth is, the source of purpose is God. So you have to first look to him and then look inside of yourself to see what he's already put inside of you. So anytime somebody is saying that they want to discover their purpose, I fully encourage them to go to the source. Go directly to the source and pray and ask God to reveal your purpose to you at the appropriate time, because for some of us, we're not ready. I know for me, this entire year has been, you know, stretching me outside of my comfort zone. So at the point where God, you know, at any time, whenever God had told me what my purpose was, he had already stretched me so much that I was ready to take the leap. But he had to get me to the point. Like before that, I wasn't ready. So had he told me, like, say when I graduated law school back in 2013, I would not have been ready. I would not have been obedient. So
why not?
That's
why
a prayer that he should. Oh, because my faith wasn't built up strong enough. I didn't fully understand at that time how to really stretch and exercise my faith. I also probably would have saw me stepping out on faith and doing what God told me to do as a risk. But the truth is, when God tells you to do something, it's not a risk. There's no risk in that. You're going to succeed.
Yes, but we need to grab that faith and give it to our own hearts and feed it with that, because really we don't need to go from our own strength. And sometimes I do that by myself and then I think, oh Lord, you gave me the assignment, so you are also gonna help me, so why am I working so hard?
That's exactly it. Yeah. So that's why my recommendation is to one, go to God in prayer, and two, you have to read more of the word and really see what it is that God says about you and what he's prepared to do on your behalf.
And what does he want to do on our behalf?
So for one, God wants to see you win. There's a scripture, I think it's in 2 Corinthians, that says, thanks be unto God who always causes us to triumph. But if you don't know that, then you don't know that God's desire is to see you win. So he wants to help you win. He wants to see you win. So these are some of the things that we have to get an understanding for and a revelation of ourselves. Also, God wants to be an anchor, like especially now. So now we have a global pandemic in the form of COVID-19. It's affecting the entire globe, right?
Yes.
But for, you know what I mean? So if for people who do not have their soul anchored in God, this is a rough time for them. This is a rough time for them, because they don't understand what they have in the form of strength and a source of stability in God. So these are all tools that help us really get an understanding of who we are in Christ and what we can tap into whenever we need some assistance.
He's always there for us.
Always.
I have a quote from Zig Ziglar. You don't have to be great to start, but you have to start to be great. And starting is for the most people the hardest. So where do we start after we discovered, our own goal in life?
Ooh, I love that quote because it's really true. Yes. Some people never start, so they'll never be great at that part. But that's not your listeners. Your listeners are going to start. And here's how you can start. You want to start with some introspection. What I mean by that is you want to start by looking within yourself, because everything you need to get started, you already have. Think about what your gifts are. If you don't know what your spiritual gifts are, then think about, one, what comes easy to you? Mm-hmm. Think about, what do others come to you for to help them with? This is a key indicator right here. Like, there are some things that you are naturally good at, which is my next point, what comes natural to you. But there are some things that you are naturally good at that others see in you and they come to you for. But because it comes so natural to you, you see it as a given instead of as a gift. So pay attention to those things, because these are your gifts, and they're what I like to call your superpowers. And that's how you can get on the path to discovering them.
Yes. Yeah, you talked about the superpowers, but if you discovered it, all right, I'm good at A and at B. How do you, I don't know how to say it. Can you, do you understand what I'm trying to ask?
Like, how do you use them? How do you tap into them?
Exactly. Thank you, Pavel.
Not a problem. So for sure, here's how you tap into them and really hone in on developing them. So God develops your gifts as you use them. So remember, these are things that you do naturally already. So you know how to do them. You know how to operate in them, but maybe you are not at the level where you could be, right? So understand that your gifts are for others. They're not for you. So the more you use them to help others and to improve the lives of others, the better you will become at tapping into them.
Yeah, that's true. But it can also be really scary, because if you do it in your own home, no one sees it, it's okay. But if you really step out of your comfort zone and going outside to the world, it can be really overwhelming. How can we navigate through that fear and our insecurities?
For sure. Fear is a very, very strong emotion. So for me, what makes sense in order to tackle fear is that you need something equally as strong to combat it. And to me, what makes sense is you need, one, faith, and then two, you need a plan. That's the best way to tackle and overcome something. And also,
you're really a
recognize...
lawyer. We need a plan. That's right. Funny. Sorry. Well, because lawyers have plans. They know the rules. So I think that's really funny and really typical for a lawyer. But it's really, a good point. Sorry. Go further.
Yeah, no problem. For sure. You need a plan.
Yeah.
So also understand that... fear is not something that comes from God, right? There's a scripture that says, for God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. So if we think about that, we then realize that if fear did not come from God, then that must be a gift from the enemy. And we don't have to accept that. So here are some things to do that you can kind of get over your fear. One, decide not to accept it. Remember, fear is a gift from the enemy. So you can make the decision at the outset to not accept it as soon as it starts to creep into your mind. Two, you can replace fear with faith. Fear and faith cannot exist in the same place naturally, right? So if faith is present, right, then there is no fear. Number three, talk to it. Fear, you have no place in my mind. I will not accept you. I resist you. These are things that you can say to combat fear. And then number four, focus on God's word. There are so many great tools in the Bible to help combat with fear. And in fact, I know, the words fear not appear in the Bible 365 times. Like, God knew that this is something that you may have to struggle with. So he's giving you provision to accomplish and to conquer your fear. So don't fear. And then there's another scripture in Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10 that says, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand." This is God talking to you. This is what he has to say about you and how he's going to strengthen you and help you and lift you up. So you can't help but feel empowered by saying that. And then number five, you want to connect with people who inspire you and your faith. This is critical because if the people around you are doubting you and are just as afraid as you are, then none of you guys are going to ever leave your comfort zones. You have to surround yourself with people who will hype you up and inspire you. And then my last point is face your fears. You have to face your fears and do exactly what it is that you are afraid to do. On top of that, you have to expect to win. Walk into the situation with a victory mindset. And here's something else I want you to remember. When you function outside of your comfort zone consistently, guess what? That will eventually become your new comfort zone. This is now your baseline, and it positions you to conquer something else. That's really how you position yourself to win.
So, and come on, people, go for it.
Yes. And if you want, if fear is something that you really would like more help with, I actually created a worksheet to help the listeners of my podcast really conquer their fears. And that worksheet can be accessed for free. Just go to Slay. That's S as in Sam, LAY. So Slay.thepurposecollective.co, and you can download that for free and really start positioning yourself to tackle those fears.
That's really good. I will put it also in the show notes. All right, we've talked about fears, but how do we deal with setbacks? Because I ask this question because some of my listeners are sometimes saying, well, when a door closes, I feel like that is God saying to me, oh, this is not for you. But I don't think that's quite right. So I was really curious what you have to say about that.
I agree with you. That isn't quite right. So what we as believers and as Christians sometimes forget is there is a force out there who is really trying to prevent us from accomplishing our purpose. So we have to understand that the enemy will launch attacks. And just because we have a setback doesn't mean that, you know, we aren't doing what it is that we're supposed to be doing. It just may mean, one, you know, we may have to pursue it through another method or vehicle. Or two, we need to maybe pursue it at a different time. Now, I can say that if you are not experiencing any wins or any successes in what you think is your purpose, now that may be an indicator that that is not your purpose. But setbacks are natural. Like, we live in a world that is cursed. So there are naturally going to be challenges and setbacks. So that's my take on that.
Thank you. Can you wrap this episode up with some encouragement for the listeners to reach for their purpose and glorify God with it?
Sure. I want you all to know that with God, there is no failure. You cannot lose. So whatever you may perceive in your mind as a barrier to entry or as a hindrance, remember that, one, you have the victory. Two, greater is he that is in you than he who is in the world. So you have the ultimate, ultimate source of help on your side. And three, you can do all things. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. So I want you to take those three things and run with them, because you literally cannot fail.
Oh, thank you so much, Pavel. It was, yeah, it was really inspiring. And I hope, yeah, that the people, are going to walk in faith. And I also think this interview in English, to me, it's also daunting. And I think, oh, no, I can do it. And then I also think, no, I'm going to push through it. I'm going to do it to glorify God. So I hope the people that hear that are inspired by you and by this conversation. And if they want to find you, where can they find you on the internet? Because you have a podcast, a new one, released this month, and he is really cool. So people, listen to it, and where can they find it?
Oh, for sure. So my podcast is called The Purpose Collective. You can find the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, Audible, Stitcher, and even Google Podcasts. You just type in The Purpose Collective and you can find it there. If you would like to keep up with me personally, then you can find me on Instagram at Pavielle. It's spelled P-A-V as in Victor, I-E-L-L-E dot E-S-Q. That's my handle on Instagram. And then you can also hang out with other members of the collective in our private Facebook group. That Facebook group can be accessed by typing into the search bar, The Purpose Collective Community. So that's it. Those are the three ways that you can find me.
Great. Well, thank you very much. And thank you so much for your time and for your energy. And I wish you all the best and blessings with the work that you do. Keep on going.
Thanks so much. Thank you for having me.
Ontzettend leuk dat je er weer bij was. Over 3 weken staat er weer een Nederlandse podcast voor je klaar. Dus als dit niet aan jou besteed was, geen probleem. Dan hoop ik je over 3 weken te zien. Vond je hem nou ontzettend leuk en waardevol, deze aflevering? Stuur hem gerust door, hè? En een review in iTunes is ook ontzettend welkom. Wat geniet ik daarvan? En bovendien zorgt het ervoor dat mensen die Podcast Bloei nog niet kennen, hem ook zullen ontdekken.